Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 130, recorded on July 19th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, iPad, and all that fun stuff. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going good, Michael, and it's been kind of lonely without you around here.
Yeah, I've been in Florida.
Again.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey. So you gonna move down there, buy a place?
I mean, maybe if they launch more space things down here that I want to see, then I'll probably come back. So, as
maybe
it's probably
a retired space shuttle to like live in. Maybe they'll start auctioning those things off.
Well, with the housing market the way it is, I don't think there's a lot of money in putting up the shuttles for lease or rent or anything like that.
No.
Can you imagine getting to rent a shuttle for a week?
Maybe they can have like a shuttle hotel.
No, exactly. I mean you rent it and you fly it.
Oh, like rent a car.
Yeah, except rent a shuttle.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think they should do that. Maybe we should send NASA an email or a Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll totally go for it.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned last week, I'm down here to see the last shuttle launch. Of course, I saw that happen on time, surprisingly, on the 8th, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that 30-second hold?
Yeah, that was, I hardly understood what was going on because, you know, we're out there, we're listening to the loudspeaker on the NASA Causeway. And so they're counting down and then they say, okay, hang on. And we're all like, what's going on? And they say it out, you know, on the speaker, but it's hard to really hear what they're saying. And then they just, they fixed whatever issue. I think the issue was that the beanie cap, they couldn't verify that that was retracted fully. Was that it?
That, yeah. The sensor didn't indicate that the arm had cleared the shuttle. But when they did their visual inspection, which
yeah,
all of us out here on the internet, we could clearly see as we were watching live, the arm had moved out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm sitting here trying to figure out, what address do I tweet to let them know the arm's okay?
Yeah, I think it's at NASA Kennedy. Someone eventually tweeted at them, and that's why they were able to go. They're like, oh, someone on Twitter said it's cool that it's retracted. We should be able to go now. We should be good.
And if they're saying it on Twitter,
yeah, it must be right.
Good. Yeah.
You know, it's pretty interesting. Basically, everybody out there who had a smartphone was getting their information about the launch from Twitter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And it was a really awesome launch, and it seemed to just last forever. It seemed to go in slow motion. It was really great. So I'm down here still, of course, following the mission online, on NASA.gov, NASA TV, but I'm also here to see the landing, and I might be able to see that from the runway because I've made some new friends.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to say much more than that because I don't want to jinx it, but if I get to see it from the runway, then you will see it on my Twitter. You might see a picture of a space shuttle landing over my head. Not
Sweet.
On top of me, hopefully. Hopefully I'm at a safe spot.
But, you know, if you're going to go.
Yeah, having a spaceship land on you.
Yeah.
I think
and how did
awesome.
Michael die? Well, it was awesome. He was run over by the space shuttle as it landed. No way. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to give you a transition from space to Apple stuff.
Well, I was going to do it, but it better be the right one.
Oh, you had one in mind?
I have one. I'm a professional, Adam. I know what's going on.
I was going to ask you. It's not about Burt Rutan's new flying car, is it?
No.
No.
It's about the fact that they brought two iPhones up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they brought two iPhones up there.
Specially modified, right?
I think only in software. I think they have a special application called Space Lab for iOS, which you can actually download from the App Store. And it's not the exact same version that they have up there because, you know, some of the things that they're actually trying to do up there require microgravity and, you know, being in space and whatnot. So some of them are simulated, but the various experiments they have in Space Lab, one is Limb Tracker. It's a navigation experiment that involves taking photographs of the Earth and matching the arc of the horizon to a, I guess, previous images and stuff like that to determine, let's see, how far they are, I guess, the elevation from the Earth, right? Jeff, have you read up on this?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and then there's Sensor Cal, which allows them to calibrate the gyroscopes and the accelerometer, which is pretty cool. State Acquisition, another navigational experiment to figure out, I think, the position of the spacecraft relative to the Earth, and life cycle flight instrumentation, which will, I think, most importantly, determine the effects of radiation on, you know, these type of electronics. Because, you know, if you know anything about the Hubble Space Telescope, that has had to be, all the electronics in there have to be hardened against radiation, which is why it's, you know, so much less powerful than traditional computers on Earth. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see the results of that experiment. So those iPhones, they sent up two on Atlantis, and they're staying on the International Space Station until the next Soyuz comes back. And then we'll get the information from those iPhones and see what happened.
You know, I think it would be totally worth the AT&T insane roaming charges
well, especially to the space station.
Foursquare.
Yeah.
On that iPhone, one of those iPhones from the International Space Station.
You know, they've already done that.
Oh, can you imagine? Congratulations, you're the mayor of the ISS.
Well, they got a badge. I think they got a very special badge on Foursquare that you can only unlock if you're up in space.
Oh, on the space station.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So Google Plus, that's a thing now.
Haven't heard of it.
No. Okay, so for those who haven't heard of it, it's the new social network by Google, and I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of it. So I'm on it. I haven't really had any time to play with it. I know there is an iPhone app that was released today. Was that released today?
Oh, the Google Plus app? Yes, that came out late this morning.
So I downloaded it. I couldn't find it when I searched for it in the App Store. Although I got the link from either the Mac Observer or Mac Rumors or something like that. So it seems pretty good. Do you guys have any comments on Google Plus? It seems to be a social network of sorts.
Yeah, that everybody jumped on very, very quickly. And then, I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do with it. That's the problem.
It feels like a cross of between Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really nicely done. I mean, it's really well built and designed, and it doesn't look like, you know, typical Google stuff, which I guess is credited to former Apple employee, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Hertzfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy Hertzfeld supposedly did a lot of the UI design work for it. And it breaks the convention of Google not having little animated kind of thingies, the little circle. You know, you add someone to your circle. I guess that's the one feature I kind of like, the whole concept of circles, which kind of takes Twitter lists to the next level.
So
and you keeps them private. I like the fact that, you know, they're not out there for everybody to see.
So how do the lists or the circles work exactly? It's
basically a way to group people within your social network so you can filter down into specific segments. So I have one set up for like MacCast listeners. I have one set up for Mac media folks, for podcasters, for friends, for family. And then what's nice is I'm told, I haven't downloaded the app yet, but when the app came out on Android, I think you can target specific, I don't know what you call them, pluses.
So if you only
when you send them out, different pluses to specific groups. So rather than you can send it out to everybody, or you can say, you know what, this one I only want to go to people who are in my family circle.
So you won't have an Anthony Weiner situation.
Well, you know, I think there's potential to have really bad things happen when you're doing it drunk and you send something out to the wrong circle.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be very easy to send the wrong photo to the wrong circle.
A lot of Jeff, look ma, no pants images might go out to the wrong circle.
But exactly.
But that's the concept. So it's a little bit like lists in terms of you can filter the view, but then you can also send to those groupings, which is kind of nice, which I don't think you can do with lists on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, check it out. It's free, Google Plus app. You have to have an invite and actually be on Google Plus. You probably are on Google Plus. I think everybody got a crap load of invites, and as long as you have someone on it, then you're probably already on it and confused about it.
This is the problem. It's like, how many things do we need to have? You know, like, okay, I've got Google Plus, I've got Twitter, I've got Facebook, and then you have all the ancillary stuff like Foursquare and GoWalla, and remember BrightKite?
And then LinkedIn. See, BrightKite was the one that I really liked.
Oh, yeah, and then it got messed up. They screwed it up. We had those guys on, the guys who knew what was going on, and then something happened where it all got sucky.
Yeah. But that's just the thing is like, I don't know, social's becoming irritating to me because it's too much. Too much to deal with. I don't want to do it anymore.
What about Alan Parsons Project? You're contractually obligated to use the Alan Parsons Project.
Yes.
But
that one I look forward to. But
okay, good. Again, contractually obligated to say that.
Yes.
True.
Clear.
Yeah.
So I like it. I do like Google Plus, but it's just another one of those networks that I've got to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It seems like I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but it seems like it might be, from a UI standpoint, a little more in my preference as opposed to Facebook, which I don't use that often, although it seems like I'm still having the same sort of hesitation toward it. And so it'll be interesting for me to see how and if I end up using it, you know, to gauge my actual interest in these types of social networks. I mean, I like the idea of Facebook because, you know, I have all of my friends in one spot and I can blast a picture out to everybody I know and, you know, they can see that, and that's fun. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. The thing that blows my mind now is that I can sign in with Google on Yahoo. And if anybody can explain that to me, then go for it.
Can you explain to me how to get rid of those little plus buttons on my Google searches?
I'm assuming that you'll have to wait for someone to write a plugin for Safari or Firefox.
I'll be writing that plugin. Yeah, I'll be writing that plugin. It'll be a CSS display none.
It's called minus.
Oh, boom. That's $1 million idea. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So jailbreakme.com lives.
Well,
okay.
It did.
Yeah, it does still, for those who haven't updated to 4.3.4. So jailbreakme.com, as you guys have probably heard about in the past, has been the home of several Safari-based jailbreaks, which utilize some sort of either image or PDF exploit, I think, every time in the past, in order to jailbreak a phone without any real difficulty at all, usually just pressing a button, which is fantastic. And of course, COMEX, what, week or two ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, released it. Jailbreakme.com. It allows you to... I was very impressed with this one, frankly. It was the smoothest one, and it looks just like installing it, Cydia, like standard through the App Store, except, you know, you're on a website. You tap it, and it doesn't, you know, do any funky rebooting of your phone. It just simply... You tap install, and then you're brought to your home screen where it installs Cydia, and ta-da, you're jailbroken. It's fantastic.
It is pretty slick.
So you actually did it?
No, but I watched it. I have no reason to jailbreak any of my iOS devices, so gotcha. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I was very excited because, especially because it jailbreaks the iPad 2, and it's untethered, which means you don't have to worry about doing any fancy tethering things on your Mac. You can reboot your iPad just fine. It works on any iOS device 4.3.3 and below. So
right. And Apple, then 4.3.4 came out.
Right. So Apple released iOS 4.3.4 to fix the vulnerability that jailbreakme.com takes advantage of, which is really good for those especially who don't want to jailbreak. Now, for those who do want to jailbreak, stay at 4.3.3, use jailbreakme.com, and just install, I think there's a, I think it's PDF Patcher or something like that. And you just install that, and it patches the vulnerability for you without having to update to 4.3.4.
Why are there so many attack vectors that are coming through Adobe products? Can I just ask that?
It is interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
I feel like there have been more than just this one that used.
Well, there's
PDF.
All kinds of Flash ones. There's all kinds of PDF ones. I mean, this is the third or fourth time, I think, Jailbreak Me has used in the past a different PDF exploit to do this.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, that was patched. So I guess, you know, it's probably not fair to say that because anytime you're going to have third-party stuff, I mean, QuickTime is a huge attack vector too, by the way. And, you know, we've also seen image files used as attack vectors for exploits. Right. So I guess this is why, you know, when people ask why Apple wants to sandbox anything, everything, and not have Flash and not include Java, it's like they have to deal with their own stuff. They don't need third-party stuff that's coming in and opening up holes.
Yep.
I don't know. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
It's Adobe's fault.
I'm sure they love that. So in addition, Apple released iOS 5 Beta 3 on last Monday. And
woo.
So there are quite a few neat little tweaks in there, including the ability to do FaceTime over AirPlay, which is very cool. So you get to... squirt the FaceTime video
term.
This is just the term
we've had this conversation with you before, Michael.
I know, and I can't
go to your room.
If I go to the room, the podcast stops. But no, it's the only term. Come up with a better name for another verb for it, and I'll start using that. But for now, it's squirting.
Stream works.
Squirting
just fine.
Your FaceTime to the Apple TV 2. So you get,
I prefer stream.
Okay.
Or how about airplaying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that ever useful ing.
Come up with, okay, here's a
ending,
a,
you know, can.
Here's an action item for everyone listening. Email to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com a better verb for that thing that I call squirting that is as entertaining, if not more entertaining to me when said. So there you go. feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. So anyway, you'll be able to put that up on your TV, the, you know, the video from the person that you're FaceTiming with. And, you know, it seems like a really great feature. I'm excited
more
about
video
it.
Chatting options that no one will use.
I think it'll be used,
yeah.
Especially alongside some Velcro that you put on the back of your iPad, and then the other part goes next to your TV. Oh, by the way, I would like to say, you know that trick where you can hang your
Michael,
your iPad from the fridge?
Yeah.
I was doing that the other day on a fridge that had some stuff on it, and it wasn't too stable, and the iPad fell. So,
did it survive?
It survived. It has a nice little dent. Very, very small.
Didn't we warn you about this last time?
I'm sure we did.
You warned me about all my bad ideas.
And then you come back and tell us about what went wrong.
I learned the hard way. So, use Velcro instead. Or a better magnet.
You know, your whole Velcro idea and the TV and all that has me wondering, are you drinking or did you have a stroke? Because that sounds like an awful idea.
No, they use Velcro in space.
Yes, they use Velcro in space, but I don't want to Velcro an iPad to my television.
They also don't have gravity in space that pulls it down, so it's fine to just Velcro it up there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So in addition to that, there's a lot more from those who've used it. I haven't actually installed it on my iPad too, because it's jailbroken now and I'm much happier that way. But according to those people who have installed it, they say it's much faster, which is fantastic because I thought beta 2 was pretty fast. In addition to that, you can tweak location services at a finer level than previously. You can turn on and off stuff for or location for traffic, setting your time zone, location-based IaaS, diagnostics, and cell network search. So you can turn on and off all of those options. Those are for system services specifically. And you can also, during the setup wizard that you go through, you can choose to enable or disable location services right from there, right from the get-go. What else? Oh, the Bluetooth in the Apple TV too. So I don't know that I remember hearing about this, but apparently there's a Bluetooth chip, a Wi-Fi Bluetooth combo chip in the Apple TV 2. And according to 9to5Mac, there have been some strings found in the latest beta release that indicate that the Apple TV 2 will possibly get the ability to utilize that Bluetooth capability.
You know, I'm not buying into the whole keyboard thing.
Well, yeah, that would be the logical use, the first step in using that capability. But what? So do you think that there'd be something else?
Possibly. But the idea of having a Bluetooth keyboard sitting on your lap, excuse me, while you're working with your Apple TV, I mean, look at all the complaints you see about how cumbersome it is to do Xbox stuff and Windows Home Media Center stuff. And
yeah, but what about web TV? We don't have that anymore. We need that capability back.
If we get web TV back.
In the form,
through Apple TV.
Yeah.
It will be done in a way that doesn't make us have to sit there with a clunky keyboard on our laps.
Can I just say how awful it is to have to enter anything in on the Apple TV with the remote? It's
have,
nice.
Have you,
use the Apple iOS remote device. App.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally use the remote app. But when you're first setting that thing up, that is the worst. That's like a nightmare, having to use that remote.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
It is.
But at the same time, you know, you're going to have to do something to pair your keyboard with your Apple TV, and then you're going to use that keyboard once, and then you're never going to use it again. So,
has anybody hacked a Boxy remote to work with a Apple TV? Because that would be cool.
What does a Boxy remote look like?
It has a little slide out. It has a. Isn't that the one that you flip over and there's a keyboard on the back?
Oh yeah. I'm looking at pictures now. Yes. Interesting.
Okay.
That would be cool.
So maybe Apple will allow third-party Bluetooth remotes.
Well, isn't the if the Boxy remote is infrared, doesn't the Apple TV take custom inputs? Can't you set up a custom remote with the Apple TV?
Yes, you can.
But probably not for keys, right? Probably just direction, like menu, select, that kind of thing.
Yeah, as far as I know, the only remotes that allow other key combinations to be entered are like the Apple Remote application, which is going over Wi-Fi.
Right.
So, okay, so that's another thing Apple could do with the Bluetooth. They could set it up so that if you have an iOS device that is not on a Wi-Fi network, that you could still use it to control your Apple TV.
That would be interesting. So, what else do we have? Do you guys see anything else? Oh, the assistive touch in iOS 5 Beta 3. Very interesting interface for those people who, for whatever reason, can't utilize some of the features on your iPad, and I'm guessing iPhone as well, such as the rotation lock or the volume up-down, shaking, pinching, swiping, custom gestures on the iPad. This is brought up. This interface for this is brought up by tapping a specific hot corner that you customize in the settings application, and then you simply tap on like the shake icon, for example, and it will simulate a shake gesture, which is probably the primary one that I would use because I feel like an idiot every time I'm shaking my iPad like an Etch-a-Sketch trying to undo something. It just looks like I'm really confused about how to use my device. Like I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do.
You bring that up because I always feel really dorky when I do that too. Not to mention, you know, if it's a hot day or something like that and you're a little, your hands might be a little bit sweaty and
just
you think
slips
like,
right out.
I think it's going to go flying across the room.
Yep.
They need a strap like a Wiimote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you guys see that 1/3 of iPhone users mistakenly think that they have 4G?
That is not surprising to me, and just further illustrates the point that I've always said, that Apple has no need to rush to get a 4G device out there. Because the reality is, at the end of the day, beyond people who are really geeky and really care about that stuff, which, you know, we could be generous and say is 10% of phone owners, and it's probably more like 1% of phone owners. At the end of the day, what most people care about is that they can get the information that they want. They can check into Twitter. They can download a web page. They can download a map, and it doesn't take forever.
Yeah.
If it's slow, they're going to be annoyed. But beyond that, you know, there's nobody running around that I've seen using an iPhone on a daily basis going, "Oh my God, this thing's so slow. I absolutely hate it."
Yeah, unless they're in New York or San Francisco, of course.
Yeah, with some exceptions. But then, you know, if you ask them, would you want it faster? Well, of course the answer is yes. But the average consumer is not going, all they care is they get their data.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm at that point too. 3G for me is fast enough. At this point, yeah. I'm not.
We want it faster.
Sure.
Nobody send us emails and say, don't you want it faster? Of course we want it faster. We want faster, more, better. But we're talking about the people in this study who thought they already had 4G and really don't care though. They just go, oh, it's fast and it's on a data network and it's 4G, 3G. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I get my data.
Yeah. Well, of course, the interesting and the obvious bit from this is, well, most people probably think that it's 4G because it's called the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've heard my mother refer to it as the iPhone 4G, and I have to correct her. And I'm sure she loves when I correct her about, you know, the names of products.
You could say that because, you had the 3G, right?
Right, yeah. No, I understand why she's saying it, but it also does not...
iPhone 1, the 3G, the 3GS, right, which would be technically the 3G1, third generation, and iPhone 4, which is fourth generation, right?
Right. So, but the other interesting part about this survey from Retrievo is that 24% of BlackBerry owners also think that they have 4G, as well as I don't see the stat on the Android owners.
Well, I think the other thing that adds to this is a lot of the cell providers have 4G phones and 4G networks. And I think a lot of people assume if I'm on a carrier that has a 4G network, then I have 4G.
Right.
I think that's another common misconception.
But again, it looks, it kind of shows that people just aren't that concerned about it. Because if they assume that they have it, then that means that, you know, they're not that concerned, and the speed is fast enough.
Right. Yep, sure, it's fast enough. And if they're on 3G instead of 4G, well, first, they actually have coverage because 4G networks aren't as available as 3G. But then you also don't have the battery issues that you get with 4G.
Yeah, the only...
So let people think they have a 4G iPhone. They have this better battery life. They're on 3G. And when their friends with 4G phones are complaining, they'll be sitting there going, I don't have that problem with my iPhone. Which, when you think about it, is kind of ironic to have an iPhone person saying, I have great battery life compared to you.
Yeah. The other thing I'd like to say, you know, the study that should be done is how many people have 4G phones on a 4G network and don't realize that they're actually only getting 3G.
I would bet that's probably about 90%.
Exactly. I have a 4G phone. I'm on a 4G network, but I'm always at I'm at 3G speeds because I'm not in an area that has 4G coverage. So it'd be interesting to see how many people are sold 4G hardware and can't even really take advantage of it.
Yeah. So did you see that Apple has finally caught up with the iPad 2 demand? That it's finally shipping 1 to 3 business days? Finally? I didn't think it would take this long. I guess when I got my iPad 2, I had to get it through a crafty deal at Best Buy.
It's because everybody's waiting for the iPad 4. Three.
Five. Yeah.
3.5.
Uh-huh.
4S.
Oh, wait. It's 2S.
Oh, damn.
Wait, how many S's? I lost count.
Yeah. So if you want to get an iPad 2, 1 to 3 business days, you can order it online. Although I'm sure the Apple stores, they probably have a good supply of them every day at this point.
They must have at least a reasonable supply, because every time I have gone in randomly for other things lately, I'm seeing people walking out in the evening with iPads.
Oh.
I mean, and it's consistent. Every time I'm in, there's someone walking out of the store having just bought an iPad.
Well, doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, let's see here. So, according to the Korea Times, Samsung and LG are reportedly testing a Retina iPad display for Apple. Yeah, and according to that report, they say that the display resolution would be 2048 by 1536, which would be a simple doubling of the current resolution on the iPad 2.
All right. It pains me every time I have to hear this story, and I have to cover it too. You know, I
also
talk about it on my
also
show.
iPhone 4 on Sprint. No, I'm just bringing that up as just something.
as long as you're pouring it all out, what the hell?
Yeah.
This is the very obvious rumor section of the show,
right?
For anybody who's still catching up.
Ah, oh yeah, it is the rumor section. I'm looking at the notes. It clearly says rumors.
Well, this is what happens when we're sitting around waiting for, you know, everything to happen. So we're waiting for iOS 5. We're waiting for Lion to drop. We're waiting for new iPhones and iPod touches and you know, possibly iPads. So everybody just sits around and goes, what could Apple be up to?
Yeah, I really think that's what it's gotten to at this point, that it's literally just people sitting around just going, I wonder what Apple might be up to.
Yeah, I mean, look at us right now. A lot of these rumors come out of people or come from people that just don't get how it really works. I mean, Apple is about the user experience, and you can tell that by looking at the iPad commercials. They show all this empowering stuff that you can do, and they never say, here's the processor, here's how much RAM it has, here's your battery life. They just show it doing things that help people. And then go look at, say, a Samsung tablet. Well, it has this dual core transducer processor with flux capacity, and you know, and they go through all these features that your mom will love. Okay, my mom can't even pronounce it, but you know, and so you get people that are focused on the specs. And because they're focused on the specs, they then start thinking, well, because this Android device or this touchpad or whatever has these features and the iPad's specs match up like this, Apple must be planning on doing this, this, and this with their specs to be better, which I think is completely wrong. The Apple is looking at it based on what can they do to create the overall experience that they want to give end users. So right. It's not about doubling the screen resolution or adding a USB port or whatever else people think that the iPhone or iPad need to have.
Battering. Well,
and the other thing is it's, you know, it's well known that Apple is always prototyping stuff. I mean, so it's not surprising that certain vendors or suppliers might be working on prototype displays for a next generation device from Apple. And
sure,
of course, it's going to be higher resolution, double resolution, quadruple resolution. They're probably looking at the viability of all of those things and trying to figure out and work out, well, how does that work? How do we scale the OS? How do we tackle these issues? How do we get more powerful GPU in there that can drive this thing and still maintain battery life and the size that we want, things like that. So,
and how not to screw over every developer and make them have to create yet another interface for all their apps.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, of course, Apple's going to have a new iPad. It will come out in the next 6 months. It will have a higher resolution display. It will have a better GPU. It will have a better CPU. I don't even know if we have to call those rumors. Those are just things that are going to happen.
There you go. Okay, so everyone that's wondering what the rumors are, it's all been settled. Adam took care of it for you right now. And you're totally spot on.
So... how do you guys, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but am I crazy thinking that it's
yes.
just... Okay.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
I had more to that question. Do you think I'm crazy thinking that it'd be nuts for Apple to release another iPad this year? Because I just can't stand all of these rumors saying, oh... there's going to be an iPad 3 or an iPad 2S
later this year.
Okay, Adam.
Absolutely. People are probably going to get tired of hearing me say this on the show, but I really firmly believe it, that it's about money. Well, a couple things now. Money, competition. There is no driving factor. Nobody has been able to convince me of a single driving factor that would make sense for Apple to put a new version of an iPad out this year. Their sales aren't slumping. We just had the quarterly results call. They're having no problem selling the things. They just got, as you were saying earlier, they got the supply demand thing in balance. The longer they're able to continue to sell the current model, their component costs go down, so their profit margins go up. There's no viable competitor out there right now. I know there's other devices out there that are very nice and they're doing well in terms of sales, but Apple still has massive market share and that's not slowing down anytime soon. So there's really no reason for them to need to put up something on the market that's only going to confuse existing customers who are already buying the iPad 3, irritate some of the customers who just bought, you know, over the summer. And there's no reason to have that quick of a release cycle. I think once a year is plenty of lead time to do a new device, and that's going to keep sales going. I mean when the competition steps up, then yeah, maybe Apple might have to keep up, but there's too many technology factors going on too. I think there's diminishing returns too for revving your devices so quickly. And I think Apple's competitors, that's part of their strategy to compete is, oh, we're going to keep putting in the latest and greatest processor. But then their customers are irked because like every 6 months or 3 months, a new version of that device that they just bought came out.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, this one's got, like Jeff was saying, the, you know, 1.2 instead of the 1.0 pentacular
right.
Zizazix processor.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the iPhone 4. You know, that was on a steady release schedule of every year over the summer, and Apple has decided, you know, we're going to hold off on it a little bit because we still have some work to do.
Yeah.
They're not rushing to just arbitrarily put products out there just to do it. Yeah, they want to make
Apple doesn't need to with the iPhone.
Oh yeah. I mean,
look at how sales are going. The iPhone 4 is over a year old now. What are we at, like a year and a quarter? And it's still selling amazingly well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and of course the iPad 2 is selling amazingly well.
Yeah, what was it? 9.25 million for the quarter?
That's a lot of iPads.
Yeah. So, okay, so now this whole iPad this fall thing, it amazes me because you know where it started. It was idle speculation by John Gruber during Fireball.
It's always Gruber's fault.
Yeah, and he wasn't trying to start a rumor. It was right after the iPad 2 came out. He just tossed out a speculation for discussion. What if Apple decided to release an iPad 3 this fall? Why would they do that? What would the implications be? And I think it was within days. It wasn't even a week. It was within days. His idle speculation for conversation turned into this rampant rumor that has gone so far that now you have financial analysts buying into it as fact. What have we come to?
What have we come to?
Yeah.
So I guess let's move right on to the iPhone 5 rumors that we have here. So according to an unsourced report on Sohu.com, they say that the reason that they're having problems with the production of the iPhone 5 because of A5 processor heat issues. They say that due to the emergence of Apple's current A5 processor overheating problem, and this is translated, so Apple will not soon be launching a new generation of the iPhone 5 smartphones, but Apple will launch this fall is still on an iPhone 4 enhanced mobile products or the name iPhone 4S. This iPhone 4S is mainly based on the iPhone 4 on minor upgrades and no significant upgrade, which, you know, I think is kind of crazy. I think if there's going to be an iPhone update and there's going to be an iPhone 4S or even an iPhone 5, regardless, there's going to be a new processor in there. It's going to be faster. What else would they do?
Okay.
What would the S stand for, if not for speed?
S.
For snake.
It could just stand for S.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to toss this out there and assume that everyone else will think that I've just probably had a stroke. So if Apple can only do just a very incremental update to the iPhone and they've waited this long, why release a phone this fall, assuming the iPhone 4 is still selling really well? Why not just wait till spring when you can release the iPhone that you really want?
I think that's exactly what they'll do. If they can't release the phone that they want, they're not going to. We've already seen that in evidence.
Yeah, Apple is not desperate here.
Yeah.
Wait, are we still talking about the iPad 2?
No, we're talking about the iPhone 5 now.
It's okay. Just switch out the word. It's the same conversation.
Yeah.
This is like Mad Libs, but with iPhones.
Yeah. I think there's more incentive to a little more incentive to get a new iPhone out. But your underlying thoughts are exactly right. Apple's not going to push out a product if they don't feel that it's ready. And if they are having hardware design issues with an iPhone 5, they'll just wait. I that's one of the reasons too why I think, you know, they got off of doing the Macworld conference and right, having these points where they needed to kind of have some big announcement or some big thing to throw out there. Now they can just call everybody together for a special event and say, here, this is what we've got to show you. and everybody still shows up.
Yeah, how about that?
Yep. All right. Well, I don't really want to do any more rumors, so let's just talk about this.
Not two rumors.
What?
Well, what else is there?
I mean, there are a bunch. If we're talking rumors, there are a bunch.
No. Other than rumors, what is there?
Oh, the fact that AT&T is now is now offering a $9 iPhone 3GS, a refurbished iPhone 3GS for $9.
Oh my God! Can you believe the rumors that or the speculation around that thing? Look, you just totally set me off. I hope you're happy now.
What did I do?
Okay, so most of the sites that I have gone to that covered the $9 iPhone thing are saying this is proof that Apple is blowing out inventory for a new iPhone. But $9 refurbished iPhone 3GS for $9 is proof that an iPhone 5 is coming out in weeks.
It's also proof the way that they have refurbished iPad 2s. It's proof that there's going to be another iPad.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't dive into the story, though. Is that on contract? So is that the contracted price?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's when you sign a two-year contract. So
right.
If I just wanted to buy that outright, it's still, what, $150? Something
$99.
$99, okay.
Oh, it's
$199 for replacement iPhone 3GS, by the way. Because I had my iPhone 3GS is acting up and went in to talk to Apple. And yeah, that was basically the non-contract price to get it replaced.
The non-contract price to purchase an unsubsidized 3GS, an 8 gig, is $400, right?
For brand new?
Yes.
I think that's right.
No, that's what I was told. $199 for the 3GS, 8 gig, I believe. That's the model I have. Not positive, though. Is that not true?
I thought it was more, but if that's what you were told, and you are respectable, then I'm willing to accept that number.
Unless I misheard the guy.
I think that's to replace.
Was that if I... Yeah, exactly.
I think that's different. I think they have a different price for replacing.
Well, so, that's confusing.
Yeah, they
that's
definitely
like a deal
do.
If yours breaks and you need to replace it. Or maybe that was the contracted price and when I asked him that, he didn't understand what I was asking him.
Yeah, I believe that's... Because, yeah, you know, I've had a friend who broke his iPhone screen and took it in, and I believe they replaced the phone for like $200 or $300.
Yeah.
Well, he should have taken it to an Apple store where they'd be nice to him.
No, I mean, that's where he took it.
All right. I'll call him back.
He must have been an ass.
I'll add to my homework this week to call him back and verify that that's what they had told me. But
yeah. All right. So do we want to mention Spotify? I guess I just did. Spotify is now available in the U.S. via invite. I have not...
Our listeners hate us right now. They're like, I can't get into Google Plus. Now you're telling me Spotify, I can't get in there either.
I got some invites. It was real easy. Oh, I want to send a shout out to... at least his name on Twitter is Lee Beaver for the Spotify invite. So thank you so much for that. I have not tried it yet. I just got it from you like an hour or two ago, so I was still doing show prep, but I'll try it out on my iPhone and my iPad and stuff like that. So
here's my synopsis of Spotify. Awesome if I sit in front of my computer all day.
Yes.
Why not on your phone?
Well, if you want to pay $10 a month, then it's awesome on your phone.
You have to pay to do it on your phone?
Yes.
Yep. Well,
and you can't even do the unlimited plan. You have to do the premium plan, which is so you can't do the $4.99 a month plan. You need to do the $9.99 a month plan.
Correct. You have to have the top of the line plan
to go mobile for streaming.
Yes.
And by top of the line plan, you mean $10 a month, which is pretty decent.
It's not a bad price. To me, it's not that important. I can live with Pandora and just having a radio style program and not having that on demand access to everything that I want. But I don't listen to that much music, and I'm at my house most of the day, most days of the week. So I don't get out much.
Hey, on the Pandora thing,
yeah.
Did you see that Pandora is dropping Flash in favor of HTML5?
Oh. I did for their website client.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which means that I may start using Pandora again.
I've always just used the app though, so.
Yeah, well, I used to do it on my computer, and then one day I realized just how horrible Flash was for me. So I had to stop using it. And eventually I started using it some on my iPad, but since my iPad at my desk is not plugged into external speakers, I just had the iPad speaker for audio.
Well,
which is okay, but
yeah, well, here's the cool thing. See, Pandora plus Airport Express plus AirPlay rocks.
Okay, so what I need to do is set up my Airport Express in my office so I can plug in speakers to it.
Yep.
All right, I can do that.
It's just AirPlay. I'm so hooked on AirPlay. Let's talk about AirPlay because that's the most awesome technology in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. We could just sit here and talk about AirPlay and how awesome it is.
All right, so Adam, what is the coolest thing about AirPlay for you?
For me, it's just the fact that it's being implemented by so many apps and by so many people and with so many different things. And the fact that now it doesn't matter where my content is or where I want to send that content to, it's pretty much a seamless thing. You know, I hit that little AirPlay button and I can send it to the Apple TV in my bedroom. I can send it over to my AirPlay speakers over there. I can send it to, you know, an Apple TV in another room. If you get some simple little tools, you can even send it to your Mac.
Okay, let's talk about complaints now.
Wait. No, I'm not done yet.
Okay, sorry.
Dude, this is my interview, okay? What the hell?
I'm sorry.
All right, so are you using any third-party AirPlay-compatible products? Because I know, wasn't it iHome was planning on releasing some stuff?
I don't have any of those, but I probably would. What I really want is an AirPlay-supported car stereo.
No. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Well, then wouldn't your car have to have a Wi-Fi network?
Yeah.
Again, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Michael, you say this as if
it would be a problem. Yeah.
Well, do we know? I don't even know. Can AirPlay go over Bluetooth?
I guess think it's limited
Bluetooth
to Wi-Fi.
You already have Bluetooth audio anyway, right? A2DP or whatever that is. So I guess that's a moot point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have anything like that in my car. But it's just, you know, it's just like I find that I'm using it more and more. And I'm probably using it more for audio than I am for video at this point. But then, you know, add on the upcoming, I can't wait for Apple TV video mirroring over AirPlay.
Yeah, that is good. That's
for
really
fun. For doing like presentations at my Mac user group, I'm going to take my Apple TV, plug it into the projector, and I'll be able to do all my iPad presentations wirelessly so I can walk around in the front with the iPad and be showing stuff up on the screen. That's going to be absolutely awesome.
That will be wonderfully awesome. I think that once iOS 5 comes out, we'll see a lot of user groups buying Apple TVs just so that they can do the wireless video mirroring.
Well, and I think just like we've seen stereos, third-party stereos that have AirPlay support, I think you're going to see TVs with AirPlay support for the video AirPlay thing.
Now, okay, so here's a complaint. Lion does not have any extra AirPlay integration at all. It's still just iTunes. And you can't do it through QuickTime. Why can't you AirPlay out of QuickTime? That's insane.
Can you with any of Erica Sadoun's really cool third-party?
Oh yeah, I love Erica Sadoun and her what is it called? The air squirter. That's what I
renamed. That's not called that.
Oh.
That's what I renamed it anyway.
You know, I'm going to tell Erica what you said.
Okay, fine.
I'm totally going to be a tattletale on you.
Do it. But what is
it
called?
The thing is she'll probably name her next product that.
No, she'll probably name her next product, Michael is a jerk for calling my thing a squirt. And we'll all be like, what the hell does that mean?
I'm just saying that's what it does.
Yeah.
What is it called? AirPlay? No, it's not called AirPlay. It's called...
It's gone through some revisions. And AirFlick. I think some third-party people have picked it up. And AirPlayer?
AirFlick.
Right? AirFlick.
And then AirPlayer is the one where you can go the other way.
Yes. And then I've played around with the Bruce thing, too, which I think can AirPlay like stock and weather and stuff to like your Apple TV.
What's that?
It's called Bruce, if I'm remembering it right.
That's the one that's based on the hack, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the guys that reverse engineered the firmware from the Airport Express.
Oh, yeah. Is that the thing where you do it on your phone?
No, basically you can use your Mac to AirPlay like stock and weather and RSS and stuff to your Apple TV.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds neat. Yeah. Okay. So let me give you a scenario. So the night after the shuttle launch, I had some really cool video that I took with my iPhone. I used the Joby, what is it? The Gorilla.
GorillaPod?
Yeah. One of those, the Gorilla Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I had the 3GS version of that. I don't have the case that fits the iPhone 4. So what I did was it kind of fits, but the camera hole didn't line up. So the night before I took some scissors and I ground out a proper hole. And then I mounted the Gorilla Mobile to the top of my DSLR and had a very enormous wobbly rig that worked really well, surprisingly. Actually, if you watch the video, you can see after a while, because I keep hitting the shutter. I have a remote, but after a while, the shutter starts making the camera bounce up and down just slightly. But that worked really, really well. And so I took the video on my phone. The video turned out great. And I was at dinner that night with some people, and I wanted to show them the video that I had. And I go, oh, yeah, let me grab my iPad because I want to show you on a bigger screen, thinking I have this aired something video app on my iPad that I can squirt video. it's ingrained in.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
to the iPad. And I tried doing it and it didn't work. And so I was just sitting there fiddling for 30 minutes trying to get it to work. And I would just love to be able to AirPlay. And I resisted the urge to say squirt the video to my iPad from my iPhone. That would be really great to be able to do. Are there any apps for that? There have got to be some AirPlay receiver apps at this point.
For the iPad?
Yeah.
AirPlay. I thought I had one at one point.
Okay, another action item. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Send in, if you know of an app that will allow you to not only send video, but preferably audio too, to another iOS device, that would be great. You know, preferably free. But if it's a couple bucks, that's fine. And I feel like, Jeff, you mentioned something, and I think it's an app that I have on my iPad, but it doesn't work.
Hold on. Let me whip out my iPad, iPhone here.
Now, here's a question for you, though, Michael.
Yes?
Which version of the OS is running on that iPad?
AirView.
4.3.3. Yeah, that's the one that I used, and it does not work.
Okay. So it wasn't the thing where you were running 5 and... That's why it didn't work.
No. Yeah. The issues with iOS 5 are substantial in that I would just not use it. Basically, the last two times I installed it just to play with it for a couple hours, and I reverted back to 4.3.3 just because there are an absurd number of issues with third-party applications, especially Netflix. Netflix does not work on iOS 5 right now, and that's a deal breaker for me. But
that would be a deal breaker for me too.
So that works for you, Jeff? AirView?
You know, I've used it a couple times and it worked fine. It's one of those things where it was almost like, yeah, here's this cool thing I can do. Look, everyone. And I didn't actually really use it for my own stuff.
It's Air Space View or Air View, one word? Or Air Viewer. Is it AirViewer?
Hold on. AirView, one word.
Don't see it.
Maybe it's one of those things that's gone now.
Yeah, it's possible that it's been pulled.
Yeah, because it doesn't work.
Well, it might have been using that, again, that hack thing, the reverse engineering of the airport.
Oh, you know, I think you're right, actually, because when I downloaded it, you know, I have it on my iPad right now, but then I was looking for it the other day and I couldn't find it. And I just, I don't know, whatever. We've beaten this to death.
Well, the synopsis is AirPlay is cool technology.
We love AirPlay. AirPlay is awesome.
It really is cool.
You know, at that very dinner, we all shared a very similar moment where we all just kind of said, oh yeah, I use AirPlay for this. I use AirPlay for that. Oh, isn't AirPlay great? So, anyway, let's move on to our iDevice picks. Are you guys ready for the iDevice picks? Do you have your picks ready? Are they in front of you? Are they written down on a piece of paper?
Are they? Dang. Oh crap! Piece of paper. I didn't even.
You're actually supposed to write it down on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, and seal it with a wax seal, and hand it to me so I can ceremoniously open it. That's how we do it, right? It's been a while since we've done this, so I'm assuming that's how we do that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So why don't you go first, Jeff?
All right. My pick, because I so rarely get like really wound up and excited about games, is Marathon for the iPad.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I guess I'm old school because I remember when Marathon came out, totally hooked on it, played all three of the Marathon games as they came out, and it is a kick-ass game, and it basically created the foundation for what first-person shooter games need to be. And yeah, so any first-person shooter that you're playing today has its roots at some level in Marathon. Now, the graphics, they're the same graphics that we had back in
'06.
Actually, it was in the 90s. It was like mid or late 90s, I think. So the graphics for the time were fantastic. By today's standards, not so much, but it's still totally playable and very cool. And it's free, and you can do in-app purchases to get, excuse me, higher level graphics or higher quality graphics for the environment, which I think does make it easier to really see where you are and see how things look, because the iPad screen is so much higher quality than what we had for displays back then. And that's like, I think, $3, $2.99, $3.99
for
the graphics upgrade.
HD mode, and, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have a 99-cent upgrade, which is a cheats upgrade.
Master Chief mode.
Yeah, but I think it's worth it just for the ability to save your game anywhere you are, because the big downfall for this game is that the controls they're not nearly as precise as what you have on a Mac with a keyboard and mouse.
Okay, I have a tangential question.
Okay.
Do you think that the Apple Pippins controller will work on the Apple TV too when we get Bluetooth?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
We'll be able to use an Applejack controller on there to play Marathon on our Apple TV too.
That could be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be yeah. So Marathon 1, it's free. And you get it in the App Store. Links in the show notes, of course. Adam, what is your pick this week?
I am going to go with something. You know, I downloaded this because I saw it on the App Store. It was kind of one of these rising topics. And I'm going to pick it mainly because I'm a fan of Pixar animation and really cool design and artwork. Have you guys seen Morris Lesmore's? Let me get the full book. The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, which is an ebook, but it's one of these interactive kind of ebooks. And I guess it's based on a short film that a former Pixar animator, he worked on some of the early Pixar movies, I think Toy Story and Bug's Life. And here it's going to start up. So I need to turn off the volume. But it's just a really very well done, very great looking book. I don't know that the story for me was that great or compelling. The short film was a little more interesting, which you can also get on iTunes. I think it's $1.99, and I believe the book is $4.99. But it has really neat, cool interactivity. So you can, you know, open it up, and they're talking about a windstorm, and you swipe your finger, and you kind of create the windstorm. And as you go through the book, you can interact with it. But compared to some of the other implementations that I've seen, it's just much, much better looking. In terms of the artwork, it's just incredibly well done. So sort of along the lines also of some of the stuff that I think Callaway Publishing is doing.
Oh, right.
If you're familiar with those books, yeah. They announced that they used to do like big coffee table books and art books and stuff like that, and they're going all digital, and they're starting to do some interesting things. So I think it's a good example of seeing where people are trying to kind of push the envelope. I kind of felt that after I bought it and went through the whole thing, that there's not a lot of replayability in it. Like once you've kind of done all the little interactive elements, that doing it again, it's just very repetitive. I guess kids might like it, especially younger kids.
People with memory problems.
No, kids seem to like, you know, doing things over and over again or watching the same films over and over again. Whereas us adults tend to get sometimes bored with that sort of thing. And so that would be my only complaint, is that, you know, the story is, it's a good story, but it's not a great story. One of the things I always loved about Pixar films is, you know, they always have a really awesome story behind it. This one was okay, but the artwork is really great, and it really does show kind of what you can do with a little bit of creativity and the iPad. And the artwork is beautiful. So it $4.99. seemed a little bit much for me because, like I said, there's not a lot of replayability. So you really, if you're going to pick it up, you really have to just know that going in, that, you know, this, you're probably going to go through it once for your $5, maybe two times, show it to a couple people, and then probably put it away. So,
all right,
that's what I got.
The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore is the pick. And again, yep, that will be in the show notes, of course. My pick this week is a podcasting application called Instacast, and I think we've maybe even mentioned Instacast in the past. I've had a chance to play with it for a couple weeks, and if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago what my review of Instacast was, it would not be as nice as it is now, because they've added some really important features, I feel. So I would say it's a full-featured podcasting application. It has a podcast directory where you can find basically any podcast you can find in the App Store, or the iTunes Store, rather. You can find any podcast in there. If you have a specific link that, you know, a podcast isn't in there, you can pull that link in manually. Or you can even import, either you can export your podcast subscriptions from iTunes and email them to yourself and open them up in Instacast. Or you can simply, go to your, there's an iPod tab, and you can see all the podcasts that you've subscribed to in your iPod application, and pull all those in. And so then, ta-da, you have all of your podcasts that you were using in iTunes now in Instacast. So you get three different views from your standard library view. You get the starred view, so you can actually star episodes that you particularly like and want to, you know, say that you really like that one. So, for example, when I listen to some comedy podcasts, I like to star the ones that I think were particularly good to maybe listen to later. You have the list view, where you can see a list of all the podcasts which you are subscribed to. And, of course, it has counts for, you know, how many episodes you've not yet listened to. So you can select one, and you can either sort it reverse or chronologically, which is a new addition to this application. Unfortunately, the only way you change that setting is from the settings app, so you have to bounce back and forth. So the only disadvantage here is that it shows you all of the episodes because it works via streaming as well as downloading. So if you go to a podcast which has a couple hundred episodes, for example, you might want to, you know, sort from newest to oldest in order to find the episodes that you want. So like I said before, you can mark episodes as listened to or not listened to. You can stream them right from their website. Or you can cache them. So if you don't want to use your data, you want to, you know, when you're on Wi-Fi, select the episodes that you want to cache, and it will download them, and it will save them. And then you can actually go to the third view, which is the, you know, all episodes that are cached view. So it shows only the ones that you've downloaded previously. And you can just listen through. It has continuous listening, which is another feature that they recently added, so it won't stop once you've finished another episode. So if you're trying to catch up, for example, it's really good for that. And it even works with episodes that have not been cached. So you can just go through, you know, episodes streaming. It'll continue streaming. It'll go to the next one. It'll stream that one. And one of the really cool things about this app is you can actually view the show notes. So whenever you click on one of the episodes, you can see the show notes there, and it'll even give you the option to go to the show page for that specific episode and look at all the show notes there. I really like the app. Like I said, I've switched all my podcast listenings to Instacast. I don't use my iPod anymore. I think one of my favorite features of it is while listening to an episode, instead of having the forward and reverse buttons, you know, skip you to the next episode or, you know, jump back to the very beginning of the episode, which is that one particularly is a horrible thing to have happen. If you're listening to a podcast and you're, you know, halfway through and you hit the back button and you just start over and you have no idea where you are in the podcast, it's just the worst thing to have happen to you ever. So instead, what this application does is it changes the functionality of those buttons to be a 30 second skip forward or skip back option. And it just changes my world. So I can skip forward, just bounce forward 30 seconds, bounce back 30 seconds. And you can actually customize the time period at which it skips in the settings app. There are a lot of different tweaks that you can do in the settings application. So it also does background downloading. I believe if the app is open, it will refresh for you. It has multiple playback speeds, so 1, 2x, and half speed. It's just it's a really great application. I really enjoy it. So if you listen to podcasts, and I know you do, you should check out Instacast. It's $3. Definitely worth it. So I guess with that, have you guys used Instacast?
I have. I've actually been playing around with a bunch of different ones. I really like Instacast a lot. And I only recently switched to Downcast. And the primary reason for that is only because Downcast is a universal app versus I'm hoping that at some point Instacast will be made universal so that I can use it on my iPad and my iPhone.
Ah.
That's my only complaint against it. I agree with everything you said in your review, yeah. Other than it's not a universal app.
Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts on my iPad, so that's not a problem for me, but I understand. Yeah. Oh, and the other main driving factor for me enjoying Instacast is that it's very pretty. It's a very nice-looking application. If you're a fan of fancy UIs, you'll like this. And with that, of course, you can find all of our iPhone picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show in iTunes or just simply rate it, and that really helps out in the rankings if you leave us a review on iTunes. I believe the reviews have more weight than the rankings, so if you want, or the simple star rating, so you know, you can just say, hey, this is awesome, and then there's your review. You don't have to write a lengthy review. It's okay. we understand your time is valuable, and you just spent an hour and a half listening to us. It's cool. So do that. You can also send us feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That is the email address. And you can send audio comments. Honestly, audio comments. If you have anything to say you want us to address on the show, an audio comment is the best way to do it. You can just record it on your voice memos app in your iPhone and email it to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And of course, if you want to advertise on the show, contact Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. You can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer. That's macobserver.com. And of course, twitter.com/jgamet and zazzle.com/jgamet is his Zazzle store, where you can find any number of his wonderful drawings on shirts, mugs, hats, thongs, etc. Of course, you can find the wonderful We Have Communicators mug there as well. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Well, sure. And as always, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. We love having you on, as evidenced by the, 100 shows you've been on so far.
Yeah, it's a pretty consistent guest gig, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good paying job, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're rolling in dough right now. I just got to talk to the money guy.
Yeah, get on that.
He says the check's in the mail. That's what he's been telling me for the last couple of years.
Well, I guess it could be worse. Not sure how, but yeah.
It might have been lost. Maybe I should get a hold of him again. Of course, yeah. Adam Christensen's at the MattCast, MattCast.com, or member.mattcast.com is the premium version of the MattCast.
Yeah, lots of stuff happening over here. I just did a show that's been really, really well received on the main feed, covering Final Cut Pro 10. I got a couple of video pros on the horn, and we had a Skype conversation. But really about looking at it from the perspective of outsiders, you know, us as outsiders, just trying to understand why video pros were so upset about some of the changes that Apple made to Final Cut, and then looking at what Apple is doing with respect to that. You know, what direction is Apple moving in, and how they might just be moving away from some of the pro apps, or maybe building future versions of that stuff. So it was a really great conversation, and a lot of people have given me really great feedback on that. So if you're not subscribed to the MattCast, you probably want to go check that episode out, because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And of course, you're on Twitter, twitter.com/MattCast.
That's where I probably should promote little side project I did a couple weeks ago. I haven't really done much with it since, but reallysadrobot.com is up.
Oh.
And it's a pretty cool site.
It's just sad
that
robots that I find from around the internets.
Wait a second. So that's you. See, you sent me that link. I think you sent me a link and then you signed off.
I did. Do you don't remember the episode where that came up? And I said, we got to get that domain. So I've had the domain like for forever.
And your face is right there.
With it.
Yeah, I should have realized, because your face is right there. And I think that's a drawing by Jeff Gamet at the top.
That's Jeff's illustration. He so graciously allowed me to use it for the logo.
I love it.
And it. Yeah.
I think it it fit really well. And I even have that available on, I think, pretty much anything you want. At Zazzle now.
Oh, it is on Zazzle now. I will link to it, because I was just waiting to hear that. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I got that up just a couple
days ago.
Wow, there are a lot of sad robots on the internet, I guess. There was a time in my life where I was looking for a picture of a sad robot, and now I know where to go.
There you go.
All right. Oh. My Twitter. I have a Twitter, twitter.com/Michael Johnston. You can find me on Twitter. Lately it's been a lot of space stuff. I'm sure that'll, peter out, because,
the space program's dead. Oh,
don't say that. That's inaccurate. You're perpetuating that rumor. NASA is not closing down. Although a lot of people have said, oh yeah, NASA's closing down, right? And I just roll my eyes and yeah. No, twitter.com/lilreviews, L-I-L reviews, is where I review various things, especially beer, really good beer. So check that out. And with that, I guess we'll see you next time. Maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks from now. I'm not sure what my travel schedule will be like, but we will be back soon on We Have Communicators.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?